help available. Now, let's get on into the end of the show. I'm really glad to have been with you this evening. And my good friend Bob produced the radio program. John Fox announced it. Peter Godbold is our computer professional. Ben Burt of the White Rose Society streams the program and also archives this show and all the other Head On Radio Network shows at whiterosesociety.org. We are sponsored by the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream, and we're trying to keep it going right here on the Head On Radio Network. Also, would like to thank all of our bloggers and all of our mods over at the Head On Radio Network chat room. You guys rock. Thank you so much for everything that you do. And last but not least, listener, I'd like to thank you for joining me in this little journey down the progressive and recovery trail this evening. And remember, it's your democracy too, and it's not a spectator sport. Get involved. Go help someone. This is Bruce Birch for the Head On Radio Network.
See a mountain peak off in the distance.
The top of the...
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush is winding up a six-hour visit to Indonesia, the last leg of his Asian trip, and saying that demonstrations against him there are a mark of a healthy democracy. He also says he's made no decisions regarding the U.S. troop strength in Iraq and won't until he's consulted with military leaders once he gets back to Washington. At the Pentagon, the Washington Post reports that a key panel, including General Peter Pace, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, is outlining three different options for Iraq: to pull out, send in more troops, or reduce the size of the military force there, but commit them to staying longer. In Iraq Today, a popular Iraqi TV comedian who often poked fun at sectarian violence was assassinated on his way to work. A university professor was also gunned down, though attempts to kill two government officials were unsuccessful. The number of Iraqis killed so far this month is now at least 1,368, and that's well above the number killed during the entire month of October. Former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger is saying in London that a military victory in Iraq is impossible, and that if progress is to be made, the U.S. government will have to engage in dialogue with other countries in the region, including Iran. Syria's foreign minister is in Baghdad, where he's telling the Iraqi government that Damascus is prepared to help stabilize Iraq. It's the first official visit to Iraq by a Syrian minister in 6 years. British Prime Minister Tony Blair is in Afghanistan, where he's pledging his country's continuing commitment to fighting the insurgency there. Authorities in India are investigating a train explosion which ripped through two cars of a passenger train and killed at least four and injured 50 today. A former Russian spy who's been critical of Moscow remains hospitalized in London under heavy guard after being intentionally poisoned, apparently during a meal with someone who claimed to have information about the murder last month in Moscow of a Russian journalist. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control are now overseeing the cleaning and disinfecting of the Carnival cruise ship Liberty, which docked in Florida yesterday after a trip from Europe during which 700 passengers and crew became ill from a highly contagious norovirus. The cause of that outbreak is still not known, though it's believed several passengers contracted the illness in Rome before boarding the ship there. Talks in Ramallah about a possible Palestinian unity government have broken off again after disagreements between President Mahmoud Abbas of Fatah and Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh of Hamas, all the discussions over control of various government ministries. Former presidential candidate John Kerry says he's still considering another run for the presidency in 2008 and that he'll make his decision early next year. You're listening to the Quality News Network. It's now 2.5 minutes past the hour. Science and business news coming up next.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
Scientists have joined environmentalist and animal rights activists in protesting a massive dolphin slaughter in Japan, which takes place every year and is about to start again. An environmental group in New England is teaming up with World Wildlife Fund Canada to recommend that marine reserves be created in large chunks of the Northwest Atlantic Ocean from Cape Cod to Nova Scotia to protect marine life and habitat. The London Stock Exchange has rejected NASDAQ's latest buyout offer of $5.1 billion, saying that it's undervaluing the exchange. NASDAQ currently owns a 25% share of the London Stock Exchange and was hoping to create the world's first transatlantic market. The conference board reports that based upon the index of leading economic indicators, the nation's economy should continue to expand at a slow pace. The index rose just 0.2% in October, slightly below expectations and reflecting the first back-to-back increase since January. The Wall Street Journal reports that Bank of America plans to announce today that it will buy U.S. Trust, the private banking arm of Charles Schwab, for $3.3 billion. And a good weekend for the film industry with both Happy Feet and Casino Royale bringing in more than $40 million each at the box office. Gold trading at $625 an ounce this hour. Light Sweet crude is down 74 cents a barrel at $58.23. On Wall Street, the Dow Industrials are flat at 12,342. NASDAQ is up 8 at 2453. And the S&P 500 is up 3. At 14:03. More at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Diana Walter. It's now 5 past the hour.
Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
All right, here we are in Chicago on a wonderful Monday. It's a beautiful day out here in Chicago after we had a rainy weekend. The sun is out. It's cold out, but it's a nice cold. The sun is out. The wind is blowing. There's leaves all over the place. And it's a good time to be in Chicago. How is everybody doing today? I hope you all had a good weekend. I hope you're looking forward to a good holiday. I went out and I actually bought a turkey. And I'm going to cook it on Thanksgiving. Yes, I can cook. I like to cook. Part of that, I don't know if part of that is just being Italian, or some people say, well, you're just a queer. Only a queer man cook, or unless they want to be chef on that Iron Chef there show thing there, over on that channel over there. No, I do cook. I'm going to make some turkey, and I'm going to make some potatoes. I get the red potatoes because being a little bit diabetic, I can only have the red potatoes. They're better for me. And I don't know what else I'm going to make. I got some corn. I guess I'll make some corn. I'm not a vegetable person. Give me meat and potatoes. Meat and potatoes, that's what I want. You know, I'm not your quiche brie loving liberal elite type with the sweaters with the shoulder patches and all that crap. I want a good steak. I want a turkey on Thanksgiving, and I want a steak. I want a butt steak, like Jeff Altman had. 18 pounds of solid meat, rare, real rare, with a little hair growing out of one end. You want to be able to ride out of town on this thing. Ham too. I like ham. A nice big thick ham. I don't even want to slice it. I just want to take the whole dang thing and just eat it. Just pick it up with my two hands and eat it. Until my stomach explodes like that guy in a Monty Python movie. That's what I want. And, you know, I hadn't thought about it for now, until just now, until I was just talking about it. But, you know, Thanksgiving is obviously a day that we give thanks for the things that we have. And I know that I've had a pretty rough couple of years, but there is a lot of things that I have to be thankful for. There are a lot of things. There is a lot of things. There are a lot of things that I have to be thankful for. I have a nice place to live. I have a roof over my head. It's warm in the winter and cool in the summer. I've got a job. Not a great job, but it's a job. And as I go to work and as I go into downtown Chicago and other places in Chicago, I see a lot of homeless people. Not as many as I saw in Atlanta, frankly, but I still see quite a few of them. Where I used to live up by North and LaSalle, there's a bunch up there because that's, you know, that's a fairly rich neighborhood. The homeless are intelligent enough to know to be where people with money are. And a lot of people give money out of sheer guilt. And, you know, I give money sometimes when I have it or when I'm in the mood for it. Sometimes I don't give money. And I know I should be giving more probably. I'm trying to do more, but I look at people and I feel sorry, especially in the winter, you know, when people have to sleep outside in this cold weather. There's a guy that sleeps, when I come home from work, he sleeps on the same window ledge off of Adams Street, just east of the Western L, where the Quincy stop is. And I keep, you know, if he wasn't asleep, I just say, hey, you know, are you hungry? Would you like something to eat? Maybe we go to the McDonald's down the street. I'll get you a couple of cheeseburgers or something. You know, whatever you want to eat, that's fine. You know, because I feel for them because hell, there was a time in my life when I was very close to becoming one of them. I mean, let's face it, I was out of work for 2 out of 3 years, and you know, my wife being sick. And, you know, only because my landlord was a nice guy, he didn't let us sweat the rent, and I still owe him a bunch of money for that, my former landlord. You know, if it wasn't for that, we would have been homeless. If it wasn't for my friend Phyllis Euster, Kathy and I would have been homeless. And, of course, you know, I'm still missing my wife very much. She died last September, for those of you who don't know. But even despite all this, I still feel very thankful for the things that I have. And I'm hoping that there is an afterlife of some sort and that I get to see my beloved wife again. And I hope that there is some sort of sense of cosmic justice for those people who had trouble in this world. Maybe the next world, whatever form that may take, might be a little bit better. I hope so, because I think a lot of people get a raw deal out of life. You know, where Franklin Roosevelt had the New Deal, the Republicans have the raw deal. And that's basically what we've been getting here. But as bad off as things are here, imagine what it's like for people living in Baghdad. They had over 100 people killed yesterday, again. While Mr. Bush and Mr. Lieberman and Mr. McCain all sit there and, you know, with their other stay the course, or we need more troops. Man, you know, you could dump 1 million troops in there right now, and I don't think it would make that much of a difference. Except we'd have more casualties. It was a bad idea to begin with, and things are much worse now. And so as bad as I feel about how the situation is in this country, at least the election proved that there is still a semblance of actual democracy going on. I mean, I know the Republicans wanted to cheat. You know, there are some people saying, well, they wanted to lose a strategy. And I said, bull, I know these people. I know them well enough to know that they never want to lose at anything. What happened was the voter turnout for our side was finally enough to overcome all the cheating, the zombie vote on the Republicans who crawl on their, if they had no legs, would pull themselves to a polling booth to vote Republican, even if the Republican was the one who actually cut their legs off and blamed it on a Democrat. You know, and that's what I seriously think happened. I think that the Republicans tried to cheat, but, you know, Rove's strategy is never to win in a landslide because it doesn't look good. He always wins by just enough. And I think they had figured on a certain amount of people turning out. And in those races where they had deep bold machines, just cheating by just enough to get a 1 point or 2 point victory, because Karl Rove understands something that we don't seem to. That 1% of the victory is 100% of the power. As I've said many, many times before, there's no such thing as second place in politics. You either have office or you don't. Period. There's no part-time. There's no, well, he got 60% and you got 40%, so 60% of the time he'll be in charge, and 40% of the time you'll be in charge. It doesn't work that way. And I'd like everybody out there to think about, as bad as things are, to think about what you all have to be thankful for. And as bad as things seem here, and they're still bad, I'm not going to, you know, sit here and, you know, lie and say it's all sweetness and light and sunshine and all that stuff. No, it's not. But as bad as things are, we all have a lot to be thankful for. And if we want to have more to be thankful for, we need to keep working. I'm afraid, what I'm mostly afraid of is that having won back the Congress, that we'll just say, hey, we've won, now we can go back and do our jobs and go back to concentrating on our lives. It doesn't work that way. Because the Republicans are still out there, the Diebold problems are still there. It's a never-ending struggle. Give me a call and tell me what you think. 1-877-443-2366. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. I'll be back to talk more. It's a Beatle break here on the Cup of Joe Radio Show on the Head On Radio Network.
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
At this moment, more than 800 million people are hungry. Millions more live in poverty. And you wonder, what can I do? Join the thousands of caring people who let Heifer International be their helping hands in the world. Right now, from Appalachia to Zimbabwe, Heifer is helping thousands of families become more self-reliant through the gifts of livestock and learning. Heifer provides farm animals that produce milk, eggs, and other products. That means milk to drink and products like cheese to sell. Having income means families can have better housing and health care, and their children can go to school. And recipients share their success, passing on the gift of their animal offspring to other families in need, ensuring dignity, self-reliance, and hope for the future. Find out how you can make a difference today at heifer.org. That's HEIFER.org.
Okay, and we're back here on the Cup of Joe Radio Show. You know, when I hear the music sometimes, I don't know if it's the standard music or the music with Bob Saints, so sometimes I got to wait and see if it's Bob saying, here's the head-on network. This is the head-on network or whatever. That's all right. One of my favorite sites, as I've mentioned from time to time, is Hullabaloo, also known as Digby's blog. Digby's blog.blogspot.com, or just go to my website, cupofjoe.blogspot.com, and click on the Hullabaloo link under Daily Reads. Before I continue on, let me say hi to all my friends in the Head On Radio chat room. Just go to headonradionetwork.com, click on live chat, and you can just discuss things with some of the most intelligent people in the blogosphere. They're good people over there. I don't get in there as much as I'd like. I haven't been in any chat room in a while. I dropped into the Bart Cop chat room for a few minutes last night. I'm just too tired to do stuff like that anymore. You know, between working and between this and that, sometimes I just don't get in there and do that. But there are people in there, and they speak intelligently on these issues, and go in there. Just go on headonradionetwork.com and click on live chat. Anyway, like I was talking about, as you know, Nancy Pelosi will be our new Speaker of the House, assuming she doesn't get assassinated by right-wing thugs in the next few months. I wouldn't put it past them. But she will be the next Speaker of the House. And already the so-called professional media is picturing her speakership as a failed one. They can't wait. She doesn't even take office in that respect until January. And they're already saying, well, she's failed. You know, her choice for number two guy lost in the Democrats' election. Well, you know something? Newt Gingrich's choice for number two lost in his election. And you can say, well, you know, Newt got finally kicked out. Yeah, after what, about 8 years of running the country? And the reason why Newt was kicked out was because he wasn't hard-ass enough for some of the other lunatics in the party. And with all the talk about what happened with Pelosi, they haven't even mentioned, barely. They might have put it in a little postage stamp-sized news thing on page A42 in the cellar behind the basement under a big poster that says, "Beware of the Tiger," that Trent Lott, that racist SOB, is once again the number two person in the Republican Party. He paid his dues and he's come back. No, he'll only pay his dues when he's rotten in a jail cell. If there was a crime against just being an a-hole, I think Lott would be in prison for life, or maybe at the end of a rope somewhere. You know, it just astounds me that the Q kids, as Digby calls them, and as Tristero calls them on the Digby site, that the Q kids are just so loving of Republicans. And maybe it's because, you know, when they say bad things about Republicans, the Republicans hit back. This is from MSNBC, and this is from, you know, if you're going to watch MSNBC, watch Keith Olbermann. But you know something? I am sick of all of them. I don't watch television news anymore. Whether it's local or whether it's national, I simply don't watch it. I'll read newspapers online. I'll take items from different sources. I'll take my editorials from the blogs that I read. And mind you, I read the blogs for editorial content. There are some blogs that are just simply good. I call them warehouses of information. They'll spread out links to people and say, hey, read this, read this, read that. And maybe throw in a little comment here or there. The best of those, the biggest of those is Atrios. Atrios.blogspot.com. I also like The Sideshow with Avedon Carroll out there in England, where she's relatively safe. And I also, and again, Digby's another one. Digby's more editorial. But I don't watch the regular news anymore because these people are completely out of touch. And a little while ago, Glenn Greenwald hit the nail on the head and was talking about that. And let me read what Glenn had to say. He said, talking about Russ Feingold, and when Russ Feingold recently announced that he was not going to be running for president, And we heard on the news, by the way, that John Kerry is considering a run. Please don't, John. You know, let somebody else take a chance, okay? I really don't know who I want right now. But anyway, when Russ Feingold, who was one of the first people, Democratic politicians, to really stand up and advocate, one of the first Democratic politicians high up to really advocate for censure of Mr. Bush and for doing something, you know, of course, he was immediately dismissed as being crazy. Let Bush get away with a crime, or let Bush have an actual accountability for crimes that he committed. That's just crazy talk. And Glenn had this to say. He said, when Feingold stood up and advocated censure based upon the truly radical and crazy far leftist premise that when the president is caught red-handed breaking the law, the Congress should actually do something about that, the soulless, oh-so-sophisticated Beltway geniuses could not even contemplate the possibility that he was doing that because he believed what he was saying. Beltway pundits and the leaders of the Beltway political and consulting classes all, in unison, immediately began casting aspersions on Feingold's motives and laughed away, never really considered the idea that he was motivated by actual belief, let alone the merits of his proposal. They are interested, and I love this the way he puts this, they are interested, even obsessed, with every aspect of the political process except for deeply held political beliefs. The only part that really matters or has any real worth. A guy like me and all of our hosts here on the Head On Network who don't make a dime off of it. Nobody's paying us. We're not doing this for salary. A guy like me and a guy like all of us here at Head On, we do this because we feel compelled to do this. And while we recognize that politicians have some cynical motives, all politicians do, it's important and it's necessary. It's unfortunate, but that's just the world we live in. All of us are doing this because we believe in it. Unlike Rush Limbaugh, by the way, who admitted he lied to all of his supporters after the Republicans lost Congress, saying, I'm sick of having to carry water for these people. They're not true conservatives. I'm sorry I lied for them. He lied for them. He admits it. I will guarantee you 100% right here, right now, that anything I tell you on this show, I believe. Whether it's right or whether it's wrong, you know, that happens. You can be right and you can be wrong. That's you know, that just comes with the show. You know, it just comes with it. Comes with the territory. That's the word I was looking for. But I am never going to outright lie to you and say something to you that I do not believe just for the purpose of making a point or just for the purpose of making you angry so that you react to something. I talk about the baseball bat, and I talk about how I'm waiting for whatever version of Kristallnacht they may have in store for us, and I say straight out, I hope it never happens. But when I say I got a bat here, and I'm ready to go out and crack skulls, if the situation ever arises for it, I've got a bat here, and I'm ready to crack skulls. I don't want to. I wouldn't be very good at it. I don't want it to come to that point. And I'm fighting like crazy as best I can to prevent it from getting to that point. But I'm not just saying that to talk out my butt. And people talk to me, you know, they say, well, you know, maybe you're a little too militant there. You should try to calm down, maybe take a little caffeine. I said, damn it, no. Because while, like I said in the last segment, we have a lot to be thankful for, and that my life is still better than the lives of billions of other people in the world, rather than not worry about being dragged down to them, or rather than having our lives dragged down to that level, I want to see their lives dragged up to this level. What I want when I talk about freedom, when I talk about peace, when I talk about people stop acting like idiots, and people being able to go out and go to work and support their families, I want that for everybody. I want that for everyone in Iraq. I want that for everyone in Vietnam. I want it for everyone in Russia, everyone in China, everyone in Bangladesh, and everyone in Hicksville, the South, USA. I want it for everyone. And I think the problem that American workers had in the past when they were strong in the union strength in the 40s and 50s is that they didn't want it enough for others. And they didn't work to try to get that for others. And they allowed America to become a nation that exploits the resources of others for our own wealth. And that's what America does. And we can like it or not, but that's the plain truth of it. Bottom of the hour. Give me a call if you want to talk. 1-877-443-2366. I know you're out there. I can hear you breathing. We'll be back with more on the Cup of Joe Radio Show here in the Head On Radio Network.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
This is the story about a group of kids who volunteered.
We fixed stuff. Did some art projects with the kids.
Cleaned up the park.
We worked in the woods.
I just wanted to do something.
We fixed up this house.
Did something for the planet.
Hey, that was all I needed. And you know what? It was great.
It was a blast.
At first, they didn't know each other.
I didn't know anyone.
Well, that didn't last long.
This guy is really funny.
Me?
These are my new friends. These are really good new friends.
Are you into it?
Are You Into It is a volunteer program for kids like you who care. If you want to make a difference in your community and make friends, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH or check out our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
This definitely made a difference.
I feel like I can do everything.
Yeah!
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
This is okay. The Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.
Yeah, there we go. Just like I figured, as soon as I say something, you get the announcement there. Oh, now you don't have to cut it off so fast. We could have kept going with that. How's everybody doing? My name is Joe, and I'm sitting here in my bedroom talking to you from my new studio, which I still have yet to name. I don't know what I was going to say. I don't know what to call it. I don't know if you have an idea. So if you have an idea what I want to title my studio, give me an email. It's at joe@cupjoe.com, C-U-P-J-O-E.com. Or give us a call and to let me know if you have a name for the studio. I was thinking about naming it after my late wife, but I don't think I really want to do that. So I'm not sure. The last studio we had was called Studio Al, which I named after our little betta fish that passed away. Of course, that's what betta fish do. What the hell was I talking about? Oh, yeah, I was saying in the last segment, Al, you know, if you listen to a guy like Limbaugh or a guy like Neil Bortz or people like that, a lot of times they're just throwing stuff out. They don't care how true it is. If it suits their ideology, if it suits their purpose, they'll put it out there. And I try to, I try to tell the truth all the time, or at least I try to be right about certain things. And when somebody is wrong about something pretty substantial, and especially if you're calling yourself a journalist, I think you just need to just quit if you're wrong. You know, I mean, like all these pundits and all these people who supported the war, who thought it was a really, really cool thing, and a lot of them who, you know, of course, thought it would be great for their careers, because that, you know, never mind all the people dying out there. That's the only thing that's really important, right? How good it would be for their careers, like Judith Miller, who's still in jail, as far as I know, although she's testifying in other cases. But, you know, people who buy into that so much and find out that they've been duped so badly, and duped in a way that as professionals they really had no business being duped, I think they ought to consider another career, to be perfectly honest. But they make a lot of money. There's an old saying that if you have a slave on a chain, that chain also enslaves you as well. And that money is like that chain. Because people want to continue to make that kind of money. They want to continue to lead that kind of lifestyle. And because of that, they will do almost anything to keep their jobs. And for some people, it's partly ego as well. You know, they want to be the best that there is in their profession. But they don't stop to think about what their profession is sometimes. And occasionally they'll go out and they'll attack one of their own kind who says an inconvenient truth, as the name of Al Gore's movie says. Because, you know, global warming isn't the only inconvenient truth. I forget the name of the reporter out in San Jose who wrote for the San Jose Mercury News, talking about how, and this was back in the 80s, 90s, early 90s, he wrote about how drugs were being trafficked into California via the Contras, our freedom fighters over in El Salvador, with the approval, if not having the CIA just look aside. The CIA wasn't directly involved with it, I believe the article said, but they knew about it and they allowed it to happen. A lot of crack cocaine went into Southern California, the LA area, if I'm not mistaken. And he was not only attacked by the official authorities, who obviously didn't want us to know that the CIA knew about stuff like this and allowed it to happen, he was also attacked by members of his by fellow members of his press, of the media. And they laid down on him and they attacked him and they destroyed his career and they destroyed him to the point where he eventually committed suicide. Because the corporate entities that pay these salaries pull the strings, no matter what their ideology is. And people talking about, well, you know, Chris Matthews is coming back to say, look, I don't want Chris Matthews on our side. I want Chris Matthews to be off the air. Hardball my ass. I'll give him some hardball. You should quit. And before they quit, we should just stop listening to them. We should tune them out. And I got to remember the actual Russian saying. There is no Pravda in Izvestia. There is no Izvestia in Pravda. There is no truth in the news, and there is no news in the truth. And I think the elections were a result of a lot more people realizing that and just not paying attention to the narrative. And it's still going on. The whole stuff I mentioned about Nancy Pelosi. And here's something that that Daily Coast mentioned, Marcos from Daily Coast, talking about the meme that's out there now was that the Democrats who won are Blue Dog, that is very conservative Democrats who mostly from the South. And that's wrong. That's just plain wrong. David Broder. Whoever the writer of the article is that Marcos is quoting, and who was it? It's a former representative and conservative Democrat, Glenn Browder. He wrote that the Democrats did not achieve a majority in Congress without Dixie, and there would be no new Democratic Congress without Southerners. Sounds great, Marcos said, but it's not true. In the South, we picked up one seat in Texas, two seats in Florida, one seat in North Carolina so far, and one seat in Kentucky. That's five seats. We now have a 30-seat majority. If all those seats automatically went back to Republicans, get what? Guess what? We'd still have a majority. And let me tell you, the election and the results of the election were incredible when you consider the huge obstacles any Democrat had to go up against. Never mind all the money that the Republicans had in the campaign. I mean, that's a given. That's been that way. Even throughout the New Deal years, the Republicans always spent more for campaigning than Democrats. I forget who it was, but I remember a new politician coming in the 60s was told by a veteran, he said, when you run for office, just always remember that you're going to be spending a lot less money than your Republican counterpart. And the reason why Democrats lasted so long running the Senate and the House, and they ran pretty much nonstop except for a short period in the 50s, from 1932 to 1994. The reason for that is, for the most part, they did a damn good job of running the country. And part of that, yes, was because of the Southern Coalition, which started to break apart. But the South is now pretty handily in Republican hands. But the Democrats who won were not hardcore Southern redneck Dixiecrats flying the Confederate flag and screaming about racism. The ones who are flying the Confederate flag now are the Republicans, which is very odd considering that for many, many years Southerners hated all Republicans simply because the Republican Party was the one, in their eyes, that started the Civil War. Of course, what the Southerners refused to accept is that they started the Civil War, but that's another story, and I'm not going to discuss that today. The guys who were elected, for the most part, are solidly progressive and pragmatic people, like John Tester in Montana, who comes from an area I know fairly well, Great Falls. I was there for 2 years when I was at Malmstrom Air Force Base in the Air Force. It's a nice area. Montana is a beautiful state. It really is. Less than a million people live in Montana. Did you know that? About 800,000 people, I think, at the last. So between 800,000 and a million people live in Montana. That's one-seventh or one-sixth, whatever, of the people that live here in Chicago. And Chicago's a tiny dot. Have you seen Montana on a map? That's a huge state. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe I read that the Tester's never really been outside of Montana. So I'm wondering how he's going to react to Washington society. But I've noticed, you know, I lived in Montana for a while. I also lived in Denver. And Westerners have a different attitude than Southerners. And I advocate not ignoring the South, not just abandoning them, but basically concentrating on the Northeast and the West, knowing that at least the West are more reasonable people, and politically isolating the South until such time as we can build up the infrastructure, because we are slowly but surely making inroads back in the South again. And I believe wholeheartedly in Governor Dean's 50-state approach. I'm all for it. But we're not going to win the South quickly. It's going to take some time. And, of course, as always, if we can fight and get a system that's an election system that's free and fair, we'll have less problems. Because if this was a free and fair election, if the Republicans weren't allowed to use deep old machines to cheat, because a close race, look what happened in Florida, a very close race decided by hundreds of votes, is suffering from 18,000 missing votes on deep old machines that you'll never find because they don't exist. Except there's a little nodes on a little diodes in circuit boards. Have free and fair elections, and we would have won 50 or 60 seats, never mind 25 or 30. We would have won a lot more. We're coming up on a break. Give us a call, 1-877-443-2366, 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. I want to know what you think about the elections, about how they're treating Pelosi, about all the stuff that's going on. Do you think we have conservatives or liberals as new Democrats? We'll be back with more on the Cup of Joe Radio Show and the Head On Radio Network.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Claude, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. Just stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Head On Radio with Bob Kincaid.
When? Somebody tell me when the United States of America went from a can-do country to a can't-do country. Was can-do washed away in the fetid floods of Katrina? Was can-do killed in the stinking sands of Iraq? Did can-do get buried in the dank and gassy hole of Sago number one? Where did the Bush administration go when they took can-do out and killed it? What happened to a nation that never said we can't? What happened to that nation that knew that the only thing it had to fear was fear itself?
Well, Mr. Kincaid, we've replaced that slogan. Now all we have is fear.
Head On with Bob Kincaid, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on the Head On Radio Network. Do you know
what you want? Many dogs and cats spend endless days indoors staring at the wall, living for the moment when you will come home and tell them you love them, take them out, and make a fuss over them. Dogs and cats need physical exercise and mental stimulation, things to do and think about in order to be healthy and happy. Please, set time aside for them and give them a real life and real love. For more information, please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals at 757-622-PETA or helpinganimals.com. That's helpinganimals.com.
The Native American Journalists Association is calling out to tomorrow's reporters, photographers, editors, and publishers to represent Native perspectives.
Today's agreement allows the Nebraska State Patrol and Winnebago Tribal Police to share enforcement.
The tribe is taking its concerns to the Bureau of Reclamation, which manages and
Native American inmates have filed suit against the prison.
Go to NAJA.com to learn more about membership and benefits. NAJA, raising the next generation of storytellers.
Listening
okay.
To the Head On Radio Network.
Again, okay. We're back. You know, when you put that stuff in there, you need to put it in there a little sooner. So that because I'm sitting there waiting. Okay, am I waiting too long? Am I waiting too long there? Do I let the music... 5 minutes later, okay, I can break it now. And then there's the announcement. We'll get the timing right. It's all a learning process, people. I could have been doing this for 20 years, and I could still make the same damn mistakes. So what the hell do I know? I was talking about, John Tester, and sure enough, I found this really great post about him on Daily Coast. And I want to talk about this because it falls in line with a lot of the things that I talk about what I like about people and what I dislike about people. And what I dislike about people more than anything else that I can think of right off the bat is phoniness. I despise people who put on one face in public and another one in private. What was it? There was a song by Billy Joel like that. We all have a face that we hide away forever, and we take them out and show ourselves when everyone is gone. And what I really hate most is people who are phony. You know, the reason that I loved my beautiful wife so much, the reason that I loved her is because there was nothing phony about her. There was absolutely everything about her. Everything about her was right out there in the open. And you didn't have to worry about whether she was going to be playing mind games with you or using sex as a weapon, as some women do, as a manipulative tool. Neither of us played that game, and I think the reason she liked me was because I'm also not a phony. Look, people, you don't have to agree with everything I say. You don't have to particularly like me. You know, that's not important. What I would like you to understand is that what you see here, what you listen to, this is what you get. This is how I am. And when I rail on Limbaugh and Bortz and people like that, I rail on them because they're a bunch of phonies. I don't think they believe in half the things they say. I think they say stuff to get people riled up, or they say stuff because it's to their political advantage. And a lot of politicians do that. And I think one of the problems with the Democratic Party is that they don't know how to do that as well as the Republicans do, play this phony game, because the Republicans are some of the biggest phony SOBs you're ever going to see. There's such a bunch of hypocrites, all this talk about this and morality and that and this and that. And how, you know, the South are the real Americans. You know, it's all crap. It's all lies. What I despise the most about the South, and again, I'm not talking about the people who know who I'm talking about. I mean, I'm not talking about Bob or Agnes out there who are straight out, who go out there and say what they feel and they mean it and they believe it. But what I despise most about Southern culture is the inherent phoniness that I found. The less than heartfelt sincerity about certain issues. And what you know, people despise about New Yorkers is New Yorkers' bluntness, and sometimes it's true. But New Yorkers aren't necessarily trying to be rude, they're just trying to be direct. Yeah, that's right, I agree with Agnes. I'm too poor to be a phony. Same here. In order to be a phony, you got to have money. But politicians are like that. To a certain extent, they kind of have to be, because you have to play the game a little bit. You know, I forget who it was that says it, but, you know, no politician in this country ever won an election by telling the truth. And if they told the real truth, that we need to start waking up and be better caretakers of our own democracy, we wouldn't have the political problems that we have now. And that's the raw truth. That's it. Whatever problems with our politicians, they are simply a symptom of what's wrong with our country. But getting back to my point, the reason why I like John Tester so much, and it was pointed out in this little article on Coast, is that he is authentic. I like this. When Conrad Burns, who was the racist, misogynist SOB who used to be Montana's senator, they tried to paint him as not a Montanan, which was baloney. In fact, Conrad Burns himself was from Missouri. Talk about phoniness, right? Let me just read out on the thing. Where is the line? That made some of Burns' campaign's attempt to smear Tester fall on deaf ears. There was the last-ditch attempt at the end of the campaign, here we are, to attack Tester on gun rights by saying he hadn't held a hunting license in 15 years. The best part was Tester's response. I have beef cattle and hogs on the farm. I don't need the meat. Then, patting his stomach, he said, I already got plenty of it anyway. That's straightforward, practical, unapologetic, and to top it all off, smart. And that's more of what we need. Well, I think what a lot of people don't like about Hillary Clinton is the perception that she's being phony, that there's a phoniness in her sincerity. It's remarkable, though, how Republicans will put up with that from their own politicians, but not from Democrats. But, you know, Republicans are always kind of like that. Republicans are Republicans first and Americans when it's convenient. Actually, Republicans are for themselves first. They're Republicans second. And they're Americans when it's convenient for them. And as I mentioned before, when someone like Russ Feingold comes out and says something and says it because he means it, no one can believe him. Now, you can blame the press for part of that, but, you know, we have that attitude here in this country as well. You know, we have a difficult time believing that people say what they mean and mean what they say. And the worst of the politicians who say that, you know, when a politician gets up there, especially when you're talking about a Southern Republican, they get up there and talk about, oh, we're real and I mean what I'm saying, I say what I mean. I hate the homosexuals. Unless, of course, I'm with one. But people put up with that hypocrisy. Of all the regions in the country that were affected by the blue wave, the South was the least affected. Georgia in particular. And Georgia, by the way, uses nothing but Diebold machines. So how do we really know how the vote went in Georgia? Because there happen to be a lot of very strong progressive voices in Georgia. It's out, you know, they're mostly surrounding Atlanta, or in the general Atlanta area. But Georgia is a large part rural, and you get a lot of the racism out there, and, you know. But they reelected Sonny Perdue, another racist scumbag. They reelected him by a fairly wide margin. But again, they're using Diebold machines. A lot of good it did Kathy Cox to bring him in there. How does she know that the Diebold machines weren't just used against them? That they weren't, you know, the Diebold company and their Republican ownership didn't just say, oh, maybe give her something on the side. Because, you know, we wondered about why Kathy Cox went over so big to the Diebold way. Hang on a second. When I was down there, because Kathy Cox was the Secretary of State, and apart from the Diebold incident, she was a very good Secretary of State. And we were wondering what Diebold had on her, or whether they had promises of future electoral victories or something to get her to mouth Diebold talking points, because that's all she ever did in defense of her decision to bring those machines into Georgia. Of all the gains the Democrats made, they were made outside of the South for the most part. 85% of them, according to Daily Kos, were outside of the South. And like I said, I think our political strategy in the short term, because I think we need to continue to work on the South. It's a work in progress, and it's going to take some time. I'm not, you know, but it's possible. We have to politically isolate them. The South has always had far too much political power for their own good, quite frankly. If they hadn't been idiots in the days in the months before the Civil War, and supported two pro-slavery candidates, splitting the votes so that Lincoln can get elected, the Civil War might never have happened. Because when Lincoln got elected, they threw a little hissy fit, seceded from the Union, and then fired the first shot. And to this day, they still have the nerve to say that it was Northern aggression. That's what they call it, the War of Northern Aggression. I know Agnes and Bob will back me up on this. They know their history. I know pretty much every host on the Head On Radio Network, whether they're from the South or not, can back this up for me. So what we need to do is concentrate on the West and maintain our hold in the Northeast, because it's going to stay that way. The Republicans have done really nothing to endear themselves to the Northeast. And work our way around the South. Because you know what? I think if we do that, and again, getting rid of the Diebold machines is paramount. It's paramount. It's important for us. We get back to the point where we have free and fair elections. And we'll see even more Democratic gains. And hopefully the progressives will continue to take over the Democratic Party on the grassroots level. I didn't know this. West Virginia seceded from the South? Really? I wasn't aware of that. And, you know, it's funny because Kentucky considers themselves a southern state, but they sent more troops to the Union than they sent to the Confederacy. It was one of those states that sent people to both sides. And they sent more Union troops into battle than they did Confederate troops. And yet I think Kentuckians consider themselves to be Southerners. Don't ask me. I don't know nothing. I'm just this guy from Brooklyn. You know what I'm saying? We got the news coming up very quickly. We're going to have the top of the hour break. If you want to give me a call, the number to call in is 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. Quality News Network is next. We'll be back with more on the Head On Radio Network, on the Cup Joe Radio Show on the Head On Radio Network.
News Network.
This is the Quality News Network. On his arrival in Indonesia today, President Bush was greeted by demonstrators who were protesting American foreign policy. He said the protests are, quote, a sign of a healthy society, end quote. Mr. Bush also says he hasn't made any decisions about U.S. troop levels in Iraq and that he'll consult with military leaders when he returns to Washington. In Iraq, President Jalal Talabani will reportedly travel to Iran this weekend for a summit about ways to curb the escalating violence in Iraq. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad invited both Talabani and Syria's president for the talks. In Iraq today, a popular Iraqi TV comedian and a university professor were gunned down, but attempted assassinations on two government officials were unsuccessful. The Associated Press reports that more than 20 Iraqis were killed today across the country, and 26 bodies were found. Over the weekend, one U.S. soldier and a Marine were killed. Coalition forces continue searching for four American and one Austrian hostage who were taken late last week. The Associated Press reports four suspects were arrested in an overnight raid at homes near Basra. Hundreds of others were arrested in raids on Saturday. British Prime Minister Tony Blair is in Afghanistan, where he's pledging his country's continued commitment to fighting the insurgency there. He and Afghan President Hamid Karzai agreed British and NATO forces will probably remain in Afghanistan for the foreseeable future. In London, a former Russian KGB agent who's been critical of Moscow has been moved to the intensive care unit at a London hospital. Authorities say he was poisoned, apparently during a meal, with someone who claimed to have information about last month's murder of a Russian journalist in Moscow. Talks in Ramallah about a possible Palestinian unity government have broken off again after disagreements between President Mahmoud Abbas of Fatah and Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh of Hamas over control of various government ministries. In Germany, a man opened fire at a high school today, wounding 8 people before he was killed. Authorities have not yet determined whether he was killed by police at the scene or died of a self-inflicted wound. And authorities in India are investigating a train explosion today that ripped through 2 cars of a passenger train and killed at least 4 and injured 50. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news are next.
Hi, I am Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I'm here to ask you a question. Has one of your friends or relatives sent you a DVD from another country and you discover that it won't play in your machine? At the Duplication Connection, we can convert any country-coded DVD to play in the U.S. We can also convert your DVDs to play in any country on the planet. Call me at the Duplication Connection at area code 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
Don't dread the Fed. Sure, the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates. Seems like it happens every day around noon. But does that affect your home loan? Not necessarily. Talk to the pros at Gold Coast Financial. They can help you bid your dread of interest rates goodbye. Don't wait another minute. Start living in your dream home while sending your interest rate nightmares packing. Gold Coast Financial. 649-8757. 649-8757. Gold Coast Financial. 831-649-8757.
The European Commission has announced plans to ban the trade of cat and dog fur. The BBC reports about 2 million cats and dogs are killed in China each year for their fur, which is used to make items including coats. The U.S. government is now allowing hospitals to share their networks and software with private physicians. Advocates of a computerized healthcare system say computerized records will make healthcare faster, safer, and more efficient. The London Stock Exchange has rejected Nasdaq's latest buyout offer of more than $5 billion, saying it undervalues the exchange. Nasdaq owns a 25% share of the exchange. Freeport-McMoRan Copper and Gold will acquire copper miner Phelps Dodge in a nearly $26 billion cash and stock deal. Bank of America has announced it's buying U.S. Trust in a more than $3 billion all-cash deal. The deal is expected to close at the end of March. The U.S. Mint will release $4 coins next year featuring the mugs of the first four American presidents. The Mint hopes a new design will encourage more Americans to use them. Blackstone Group has reportedly agreed to buy Office Building Owner Equity Office Properties Trust for $36 billion. Light Sweet Crude is trading at $58.44. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow is up 2 points at 12,344. NASDAQ up 7. S&P 500 up 2. You can hear more at...
Welcome back to the Cup of Joe Radio Show, the show that asks the all-important question.
Hey, you gonna eat that?
And now, back again for another hour of truth and fury. Here's the man your bosses hate, the voice of the working man's thinking man, Joe Vecchio.
All right, thank you, Bob. And we're back here for the second hour of the show. Man, time sure flies. I didn't even realize an hour had gone past until I thought, hey, we're doing the news, aren't we? I ran out during the break and got myself a couple of bologna sandwiches, which I'm going to be chowing down on throughout the rest of the show. I actually had a chance to do some shopping the other day. I was talking about this outlet, and I need to let people understand that I'm not getting down on all Southerners. There are even some parts of Southern culture that I rather enjoy. I certainly enjoy the food. A good country breakfast beats anything. But, you know, the South has problems. And, you know, we have our resident expert Southerner, our good friend from the Mississippi coast, Sarge. Hi, Sarge. How are you doing today?
How you doing, Joe?
Pretty good. I hope I don't get you too mad when I say stuff like this, because it's not directed at you. I want you to understand that.
No, you know, you got to be realistic. The South, it politically has always been its own worst enemy. And, you know, it's like Mississippi. We keep talking here about Southern heritage. And the one thing that nobody seems to want to address is the fact that the reason Mississippi seceded from the Union was, and I've got the documents to prove it, was because we wanted slavery. And that was the only reason. It had nothing to do with anything else. It was strictly for slavery.
And not only that, but reality, the Civil War wasn't so much about whether or not the North wanted to force the South to get rid of their slaves, but whether or not slavery was going to extend beyond the South. That was the real issue dealing with that, because the Southerners wanted to extend it to the new states.
Well, see, slavery was a dying institution anyway. There was far more slavery in the South American and Central American countries than there was in the South. If you go back and look at the 1860 census, you'll see that the slave population was really, really far less than you'd think.
Right. Other countries, too, were slowly getting rid of the vestiges of slavery that they had.
But one thing that you said that I kind of disagree with you to a point. I'm not real strong on. But the South can be taken by the Democrats. It really can. Mm-hmm. And one of the things
sure.
that one of the things that we really screwed up on as Democrats, and this local Democrats as well as national Democrats, but if we had gone in to Louisiana and Mississippi, especially Mississippi during the elections, and we had really keyed on the Katrina issue, and just really exposed all the trash that's going on, it would have just been so much better, because there's so many people, especially on the coast, who have told me, look, if you would get the Democrats just to come down here and show an interest, we'll vote Democrats because we aren't voting for these damn Republicans. They've screwed right. us. And so I even, you know, I went to Eric Fleming. He was running against Trent Lott. I said, Eric, go down there. Talk to these people. They're wanting to see you. You know, they'll vote for you if you'll get your butt down there, you know. And they'll tell you things that'll help expose what's going on. And, man, it'll make you 10,000 votes or better.
Well, why do you think they didn't do that?
Well, you know, we've got a really sad problem here. Our Democrats are Dixiecrats still. You know, we got a lot of Dixiecrats here, and some of them are about as deep into the corruption as the Republicans.
Right. I'm not going to sit here and be an apologist for the Democratic Party. That's for sure. I'm nominally a Democrat, but I'm a liberal and a progressive first. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But it's it's just one thing that really irked me, because I begged Eric to go down there and talk to these people, and I was told him, look, every source I got I'll make available to you, and I can open so many doors for you down there if you will just go down and follow up on it. I'll even go down there with you if you need me to.
Let me ask a question. Now, you know, and you're talking about Southern politicians, okay? What would have happened if a Northeastern liberal Democrat would have gone down there, like Ted Kennedy? If Ted Kennedy would have gone down there, what would the reaction have
okay,
been?
I'll answer that.
Or Senator Clinton?
I'll answer that in a what probably will surprise you way.
Okay.
There was a... Okay, I can't think of her name right off, but she was a U-2 pilot, and she covered Iraq some. And after the hurricane, she got back, and she had been so disillusioned with Iraq and all that she and her partner went to Hancock County. See, what town was it? Waverland, I think. And they came down, and they spent time with the people helping rebuild, and they got in there, and they're still doing a lot. And they were, of course, a gay couple. But the people said, hey, you know, these people are getting in here and they're fighting with us, gay or not gay, who cares? They're doing something. And I think that's probably would have been the same reaction. Of course, now it's going to be up to Nancy Pelosi and Clyburn and some of those who I'm giving them the opportunity. I'm trying to give them the same thing I gave Eric Fleming, except only more. Here is your proof. Here is the way that you can actually gain some respect in the South, especially in these ravaged areas, because hey, this is an area that really, really needs someone to step up.
And I think it's very bad that the Democratic Party didn't step up more and just say, never mind what the Republicans say or what they said the government ought to do. We ought to just go down there and help out and do things, you know?
But now, you know, Nancy Pelosi has told me, yes, we want to talk with you about this, and we're going to have a hearing on it, and we might even subpoena you to come and talk. And I've supplied them with one name. I won't go any further than one, because I've got to see how they handle it. If they don't pick up on it, I'm not gonna give them any more. But
right.
I've given them one name, and so far, as far as I know, they have yet to contact the person.
Well, I think they're a little busy right now, just rearranging, you know, things so that they can take power. And granted, you know, I wish they could do more, but sometimes you got to put the horse before the cart. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they said that they're going to do something, and I'm going to see. You know, I'm giving them information, a little bit of information, and I flat out told them, you're not getting more until I know you're going to do something, because I'm not.
Right.
I got people that if I told who they were, it would put them in jeopardy, you know, and I can't do that, you know, and if I'm gonna ask these people to step up and be witnesses or to speak out to what they know, I'd kind of like to feel like I'm giving them a chance, you know,
not
screwing them over. And unfortunately, that seems to be the feeling throughout the area now. Is it doesn't matter. Nobody gives a damn. And
you know, the real problem is that the press will never give that kind of a hearing a fair shake, because they'll always question the political motives. Oh, they're just looking to pander to voters and not really interested in, you know, actually helping people out. They're just trying to do something just for show.
Well,
you know, all
you got the case of Jacob Cato, young man that Bob talked about on his show last week, just over 2 years old, he's got spinal bifida, and they went to the churches and asked the churches for help, and the churches said, "Well, no, we can't help." And they spent all this money on billboard ads telling people to vote against gay marriage. Well, you know, there's your priorities.
Yep, exactly. That's a damn shame.
And now this boy's. You know, he's got anyone who wants to know this on the head-on website, or you can go to unreportednews.net. I've got a link on it to Jacob's site where you can donate. But, you know, that's the problem. We have got to get back to this bleeding heart thing, you know. Let's have a heart. Let's give a damn about our people. Let's worry about this child. Let's worry about these troops getting killed over there and getting maimed. Because, hey, once you're wounded in military action, that wound never heals. It's always there. You know, you may get...
It's always there mentally, it was always physically, right.
And so, you know, we need to start be acting more sensitive to people's needs. And, you know, I just hate... that we leave the bleeding heart out of liberals so much. That's one thing that I think we have an advantage on, and we should take advantage of it.
Well, we are with the real compassionists. You know, it really struck me funny when George Bush coined the phrase compassionate conservatism, compassionate conservatism, because I thought, well, doesn't that imply that conservatism by its own nature is not compassionate?
Yeah.
You know? We have a real cynical streak in our country right now, in particular, where everybody's motives for whatever they do are being questioned.
Well, you
and
know,
it's not just the press that are doing it, but we do that ourselves, you know.
Yeah. One thing that I got to say though, for a year now, I've been working my butt off on this Katrina deal, and only the liberal side has allowed me the voice. Of course, you know, maybe it's because that's basically where I go anyway, but I don't think I would have gotten a voice on the other side anyway. I've contacted some Republican senators and representatives, and I haven't had much success with them. But, you know, it's Mike Malloy. He gives me one time a week at least on his show to tell about the problems in Mississippi, and you know, that was great. Bob and Head On has been really great about doing that, and so it's like I tell them in Jackson County, the hope for restoring this area is not going to be with the Republicans, and not necessarily the Democrats. It's going to be with the liberals.
It's going to be with the liberals. It's going to be with the Democratic wing of the Democratic Party,
right?
And that's who I represent, because when I talk about I want things right for everybody in the world, regardless of country and regardless of origin, I want things right for the people in the Mississippi coast, too. I don't care what they believe, or I don't care whether they're going to vote Republican or not. They deserve the right to be able to live their lives and be happy and prosperous And, you know, not to worry that if a hurricane destroys their community, that everyone's just going to abandon them, which they pretty much have, unless you have money, you know, unless you can make money for somebody, like with the casinos and stuff like that. Nothing angered me more than hearing you talk about...
That's
what I'm saying. Nothing angers me more than how you're telling me that they're rebuilding the casinos, but there's no money to rebuild the hospital. I mean, that just goes to show where the priorities are, and that just sickens me to no end.
Well, you know, there's another thing that goes on is this idea they bash the liberals, and you ask people around here, well, what is a liberal? And most of the time, they have no idea. They couldn't tell you if their life depended on it. They couldn't come up with a definition. And I ran across this quote, fascism, which was not afraid to call itself reactionary, does not hesitate to call itself illiberal and anti-liberal.
Right.
You want to guess who said that?
That was probably Hitler or Mussolini.
Mussolini, the father of fascism.
Well, he coined the phrase. And actually, fascism is an Italian word. A lot of people think it's a German word, but it's an Italian word.
Yes, and he was the father of fascism. He was the one that started. Hitler just adopted it and modified it.
Right, and a lot of people don't know that Mussolini also said that fascism really shouldn't be the word for it. The real word for it should be corporatism, because fascism, it's a merging of state and corporate power.
Fascism should most appropriately be called corporatism, because it is a merger of state and corporate power.
That's right. That's his phrase.
All right.
And what happened to Mussolini?
Yeah. Have you seen his daughter, though?
She's in the Italian parliament or whatever. Good Lord.
Yeah, she's getting on up years now, but she's a pretty woman when she first started. I imagine she's still rather attractive, but
she's not as long as she doesn't look like Gene Schmidt. That's all I care about. Scariest person in town. Thank you, Sarge.
Okay, bye bye.
You're always welcome to be on the show. Good friend Sarge out there on the Gulf Coast of Mississippi. You know, if I was independently wealthy, if I had, you know, billions like a Soros or somebody like that, I would have dumped millions of dollars in there to help people out. And maybe you wouldn't even take in millions. Just go down there and get a few people, you know, organized to help clean up the place and do stuff. And I would do it if it weren't for the fact that I go down there and I'd probably wind up in the same situation, because I'm broke. I couldn't even afford to travel down there. You know, maybe we need more stuff like what Ms. Adams did up here in Chicago with Hull House and things like that. Maybe we need to start reinvigorating those things. I don't know. I look at it and I see so much that needs to be done, and we have so little power. I'm going to continue on here. I know we missed the Puffy Ami Yumi break, and if it's okay with Agnes, we're just going to keep going here until the bottom of the hour, just to keep everything organized. And we didn't want to cut Sarge off, because Sarge, you know, Sarge is my man. You know, he's the type of person that we should all be fighting for. Everybody's the type of person that we should be fighting for in that sense. But Sarge in particular gets it. He understands what's going on, and he knows what the deal is. And I want to do everything I can to help him and to help others down there in the South and on the Mississippi coast and in Louisiana who were basically abandoned by the Republican Party and abandoned by the leadership of the Democratic Party, too. I don't know. I think Pelosi made a couple of trips down there. I'm not sure if she did or not. But Pelosi is an extremely liberal politician from San Francisco. That most hated of things. And I've talked, you know, most hated of places as far as Southerners are concerned, right? San Francisco and New York City. Because, you know, all the own people live out there. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of Southerners have no clue as to what it means to live in a big city like New York or Chicago or San Francisco. It's a different world. But what they don't understand is that we're not all, you know, brie-eating, you know, elitist up here. There's a lot of hard-working people just like they are. The South is not the only place where you have real people in that sense. But again, I'm all for them. I'm all for Sarge. I'm all for all those poor people down there in Mississippi. I'm all for everybody in Alabama, even. I want them, you know, I can't help them if they're going to be morons or not. I can't help that. I mean, that's something that they have to deal with. But as I've said before, one post, I want them to be happy and prosperous, morons. Whereas the Republican Party and its leadership wants them to be poor and miserable morons, because poor and miserable morons will continue to vote for the same nasty politicians. And I want what's good for everybody. And it goes to show, if we had had real liberals running the show, first of all, maybe they would have done something about the levies beforehand so that they wouldn't have broken. That there would have been more effort to prevent the levies from being broken. Okay? Second of all, even if some disaster like that had happened, they would have not let people rot and die on the streets. Just because there was a lack of will to save them because they were the wrong color or didn't make enough money. We would rebuild the casinos, but only after we rebuilt the hospitals and the other infrastructure. Because that's what liberals do. And I was remembering, thinking about Teddy Roosevelt talking about how people in his day were making fun of do-gooders. And they were. And people always do make fun of people. And some people, anyway, make fun of people who want to do stuff for others. And he said, you know, the problem is, what we need is we need more do-gooders. We need more people who do stuff like that. And we've gotten to a point in this day and age, I think it's even worse than it was in the Gilded Age. Because we have a press, as I mentioned before, we have a press that sneers at the very idea of people helping other people. And it thinks anybody who does something like that is only doing so for crass political reasons. And not because, gee, they might actually want to do something to help people out. They're concerned with every aspect of politics, as I mentioned, except sincerity. And it's inconceivable to them. Maybe it's because that's how they live their lives, you know? Maybe it's because they're so used to just saying whatever and not necessarily believing it or saying something because it furthers their career or because it gets better ratings. Maybe they're so used to that that they've lost communication with that part of themselves that actually has the capacity to be concerned. Maybe that's the case. But I think unless we can get rid of that attitude, we're always going to have problems when we have disasters like Katrina. We're always going to have problems with Iraq because we don't really care about the Iraqi people. I'm sorry to say it, but it's true. There are a few people like me, and there are a lot more than just me, but there are people who are concerned with the Iraqi people. But even so, a lot of people just talk about the deaths of American soldiers. Well, you cost, 2,800 American soldiers. Yeah, and that's a damn shame. And they should never have been sent there. But if those reports are right, we're talking about more than half a million dead Iraqis, and we're talking about a lot more that are just fleeing the country because it's unlivable there. Even in Baghdad, you only get electricity for a few hours a day. There's very little fresh water. And you could say, well, if we had gone in there and done all these things, rebuilt the infrastructure quickly and made life better for the Iraqi people, then we wouldn't be in the situation we're in now. And that's the truth. But if we had thought that way to begin with, we would never have gone in there in the first place. Because we never went in there thinking about what was good for the Iraqi people. Mr. Bush was thinking about what was good for him politically, and of course his political operatives felt the same way. They were thinking that it's going to make them look like manly men who could fly into aircraft carriers and be Mr. Top Gun hero, war hero. One comedian says, we can solve this war very quickly. Let's get Saddam and let's get Bush together in a room. Let's get out a ruler and let's figure it out, okay? Because that's what it's all about in that sense. But Mr. Bush cares about his own citizens just as much as he cares about the Iraqi people, which is to say, not at all. Because he let those people die. Because he didn't care. He has no soul in that sense. Maybe one day that part of him that realizes that his actions in Iraq and Katrina were not only wrong but evil, maybe one day he'll realize that, and that part of him that still has any humanity left will crack and he'll break down. Maybe. And I hope if that happens for him that he has an epiphany and realize it. But I have very difficulty believing anything that he says because he's so insincere about the things that he says. All this talk about freedom. All this talk about peace when he's arming for war. And I really don't have any answers. I mean, I'm just a guy with a microphone trying to lay a little truth out to you. And it's the frustrations there. I mean, you can sense it in Sarge's voice. I'm sure you can sense it in my voice. You can sense it in the voice of people who call in here, of all of our hosts. And when they keep calling us angry and crazy, well, of course we're angry. We're angry because we're frustrated. We see things that are so wrong. And we are so powerless to stop it. And even knowing, you know, with this victory, things still take time. I mean, this is just the first in a long step. And again, that's what I'm saying I'm afraid of, that people will just declare victory and move along and not continue with the work that needs to be done. And so much needs to be done. Let me know what you think. If you disagree with Sarge, or if you agree with Sarge and want to add to his point, give me a call. 1-877-443-2366. It's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. Man, we went through a half an hour there. And we missed our Puffy Yami Yumi break. That's okay. Puffy won't mind. We'll be back with more on the Cup of Joe Radio Show on the Head On Radio Network.
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be ye warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Hi, my name's Roddy.
And I'm Mike. We're from Faith No More. And we got a real important message for you. We want to tell you to protect your hearing now because you're going to need it later.
For more information, check out here at the World Wide Web, www.hearnet.com.
Did you know the University of Nebraska is a virtual world leader in the field of distance education? And that they bring highly interactive learning right into the homes of students in all 93 Nebraska counties, all 50 states, and 135 countries around the world using the latest computer website technology? I guess the lesson here is, no matter where you live, there's no place like Nebraska. The University of Nebraska, Lincoln.
listening to the Head On Radio Network.
All right, we're back here on the show for the last half hour. Once again, the number to call in is 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. It was nice talking to Sarge again. I really like talking to him. He's a smart guy, and he's a compassionate guy, and a veteran like myself, although he's much more. I was never a combat veteran. I never saw combat. But, you know, it's funny how all the Democrats are the ones that are with the war heroes. Not many in the Republican Party, certainly I don't think any in the Republican leadership have worn the uniform or really done the job. Don't give me this stuff about Bush. You know, he went into that nice cushy Air Guard unit. I mean, that's just the same as dodging the draft. They just don't call it that. Always trying to pretend. And you know, one of the guys who ought to know better, one of the guys who is a war hero, who served out a lot of Vietnam in a prison camp, is John McCain. And he ought to know better, but apparently he doesn't. I was reading something from the Carpetbagger Report, which I got via Atrios. Well, he was on ABC's This Week in Washington, I guess it was, and he literally, apparently, and they got the video on there. It's thecarpetbaggerreport.com. That's Carpetbagger, two G's, two R's, right? Yeah. The Carpetbagger Report, it's got a little YouTube video of John McCain on the show, and then talking about, and McCain's been talking about, oh, we got to send more troops to Iraq. But you know something? I don't think he really means it. I think he's saying that so that when the time comes for him to run for president, he said, if we had listened to me, we would have won the war because we would have had enough troops. You know, and yet he was one of the most avid supporters of war. You would think that a man who spent several years, or however long he spent in a prison camp, would understand that war is never something you want to go into for light reasons. And especially when you're talking about comparing it to Vietnam. And George Bush was had the nerve to be there in Vietnam the other day and just piss everybody off there by saying that, you know, Iraq should be like Vietnam to do what the Vietnamese did. Well, you know what the Vietnamese did? They kicked the Americans out of their country. That's what the Vietnamese did. And it's taken them a while, but they're embracing capitalism now, although, you know, not in the ways that we would think about too much. But that's what the Iraqi people want. They want to get the Americans the hell out. Because you know what? It's not our country. We have no right to invade in the first place. And if we want to be at peace with ourselves and with the rest of the world, we have to hold those people accountable who did that. We can't sit there and say, well, you know, we screwed up, but, you know, oh well. If we believe that we are a nation of laws, if we believe that our political leaders are not there to create the law, or at least to be the law, if we believe that they are merely stewards of the law, then we have to hold them accountable. If we truly believe that the law has to hold for everybody, from the most powerful to the weakest, then we have to impeach these people, we have to remove them from office, and we have to put them up on trial. And frankly, I think that we need to send them overseas for war crimes, because that's what it is. It's a war crime. All right, enough of me. Let's talk to Cody on line one. Hey, Cody, how are you?
Yeah, hi, Joe. Cody with Powers and Morrison. Just wanted to comment on McCain. I was watching him on Meet the Press, and he was just being vehement with the conservative ideology, and also, I mean, just the far right neocon notion that we need more troops. But when he was being interviewed, it was great because they brought up this statistic that only 18% of people want to send more troops. So what he said when he got hit with that was, well, I have to do what I think is right. And that just shocked me because these people have forgotten that their job is to do what we think is right because we elect them into office. But once they get into office, they start borrowing a line from Nixon, where I have to do what I think is right regardless of the public opinion, which is contrary to democracy.
Well, what he's saying is that he needs to do what he thinks is right in order to get nominated for president and elected president. That's what I think he meant when he said that.
Well, I hope he runs on that, because that's a folly. That man goes out and tries, after looking, if that statistic was true, that MSNBC ran that poll, 18% support sending more troops, and he makes that his platform, I will love it. I will eat it up, because I know that he can't win on that. You can't go out to the people and sell something that the people are completely against because you think it's right and you say that they're wrong.
But here's the crazy part. If he doesn't take that idiotic attitude, if he doesn't do that, then he'll never get nominated, because the Republican Party is led by warmongers. So he's got a horrible choice. Go in there in order to get the nomination, to get the chance to be president, but the thing that you do that gives you the opportunity could be the thing that destroys you and any chance you have of actually winning a majority of votes, right?
Right, you've got to move to the far right to get the nomination, then move closer to the center to win. And then when that point was articulated, he comes back and says, no, I'm a conservative, this is a conservative nation, and I'm socially and fiscally conservative. And he tried to defend that he would ever try to move closer to the center to get elected, which is a lie, but it was just fun to see his expressions. I mean, anybody who watch that guy. I mean, I felt now I don't really fear him as much as I thought he was, because I think he has the best chance of winning in 08 because of his notoriety.
He is pandering so much. I mean, it's so obvious, too.
Right. It really, if they're going to run something, they're going to do it, they got to do it with him, because it just the uneducated political masses, people aren't political junkies like you and I. They hear McCain and they might think that McCain is sort of one of the better conservatives, sort of the middle ground. The centrists might believe something like that. So I think that he's the man that they should throw out there. But if he's going to talk the way he's been talking on these Sunday morning shows, then he really is deluded.
Well, the unfortunate part is that we do have an attention deficit disorder, general public, and you know, the election is still 2 years away. So it could be, everything could be forgotten. I mean, we've already forgotten a lot of the stuff that he said about the war while it was going on, right? Because he was a big supporter of it. Oh yeah, we need to go in there, and we need to go in there and fight to show American fighting spirit and all that stuff. And meanwhile, we're getting our asses kicked. Let's face facts. The greatest military in the world is getting their asses kicked by a bunch of guys who got nothing more than rifles and bombs.
And just the way a few rice farmers did a few decades ago.
That's right. We, you know, and it's only because these people who are, you know, they're politicians who are ambitious, who are looking to get power, and they understood that, you know, FDR derived a lot of political power from the way he handled the war, and it wasn't perfect handling of World War II, but we did win, and it made them look good, so therefore, well, we got to do the same thing. We got to declare war on somebody so it makes our career look good. Hot dang, we finally hit upon the thing. And then, of course, you run into Vietnam and you run into people there who say, you know, we don't want you in our damn country. Get the hell out. And we run into people in Iraq who say, we don't want you in our damn country. Get the hell out. And who are willing to stand up and fight for it. And, you know, look at history. No long-term occupation overseas, right? It doesn't work that way.
The hypocrisy of McCain when he was chastising Cheney for saying, oh, we're going to be treated as liberators, and then you hear a soundbite of McCain on Hardball, and he was saying, oh yeah, sure, we'll be greeted as liberators. He was just walking the party line at that point, whether he believed it or not, but nevertheless he said it, and then he comes out and acts like a hypocrite, and unless you really dig deep, you wouldn't have figured that out.
Yeah, sure. And you know, the thing about it is, because of the new technology, because of the internets, people have the ability. I mean, YouTube is a huge source for stuff like that. And that's why people will turn off the news, because they'll listen to the news, and the news is saying one thing, but here's an actual video of something that's going on that's saying something completely different. And anybody who's had practical, actual experience with how news reporters report a story understand that what they're telling you is not necessarily news. There's no pravda in izvestia, there's no izvestia in pravda, right?
Right, and you know, even out here in San Francisco, where I'm at, they've got the Chronicle published this article that said FCC probe on when news isn't news. And this article was astounding. I emailed it to Bob. I'll email it to you. It's scary because they've proven this watchdog group has taken this to the FCC and they're pursuing it, that the local affiliates out here and some national networks masquerade around acting like it's they're doing a news report, but really it's on a product, and it's a commercial. So they're mixing commercial with news, and now they have this commercial news hybrid that they're weaning people onto who watch the networks out here. And then you think, oh, this is this drug that I'm watching this anchor talk about, he's doing an article on it, but really he's doing an advertisement, but you think it's an article.
Right. Well, it's, you know, it's infotainment, and guess who pays the bills? It's the big corporations. We need to lessen corporate power in this country, and we need, as I mentioned before, we need to take a look at things like death penalty for some corporations. Just say, no, you're not doing any business anymore. You're shut down, and the executives who run it are not going to be allowed to run any sort of business for the next, you know, 20 years or whatever, or for the rest of their damn lives. You know, people who abuse that kind of authority shouldn't be given it again.
Yeah, Joe, we live in a punitive society. If people don't have any fear that something bad can happen to them if they break the rules, why not go out and break the rules?
And right. We haven't built a society where people act morally on their own behalf, so we have to make sure that, you know, there's use of force to stop them.
And that has to be, and that's plentiful in the peasant environment, but that's not there in the privileged elite environment.
Right. Listen, Cody, I hate to cut you off, but we got to come to our last break here. PowersandMorrison.com, right?
That's it. Thanks so much.
Thank you much, Cody, from San Francisco. All right, we're coming up on a break. If you want to talk, you got a few more minutes left because we're coming up on our last break here. The number is 1-877-443-2366. I want to thank Cody from PowersandMorrison.com. And we'll be back with more on the Cup of Joe Radio Show on the Head On Radio Network.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
We are taking to the streets, sidewalks, paths, and parks across Canada in support of ALS research and to raise money to provide quality care for the thousands of Canadians living with ALS and their families. Please join us. Walk for ALS is a fun, family-friendly event occurring in more than 60 communities across Canada. We are walking because ALS is a devastating disease. The average life expectancy is only 2 to 5 years.
We are walking because every day, 2 to 3 Canadians die from ALS.
We are walking to provide hope.
We are walking for those who can't.
Most people with ALS will lose the use of their legs in the first 2 years of the disease. What would you do while you still could? For more information or to register for the Walk for ALS, visit www.als.ca/walkforALS.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back here on the Cup of Joe Radio Show for the last 10 minutes or so of the show. How is everybody doing today? Man, it's a beautiful day out there. I can look out the window and just see the sun shining. And even though it's cold here in Chicago, you know, I don't mind the cold. People say, well, how can you move up there from Atlanta? You're used to the warm weather. Well, actually, first of all, I'm used to cold weather. I've spent my growing years in Brooklyn, New York, and while it doesn't get as cold as Chicago, it gets pretty cold in New York. And I've spent some time in Montana, in fact, in Great Falls, the area around where our new senator, John Tester, is from. And, man, it gets cold out there. I mean, they call Chicago the Windy City, but, man, they got winds in Chicago. I had a wind once that almost tore the door off my car. It literally broke the hinge, and after that, I had to lift the car door up in order to close it. I mean, that's how nasty the winds were out there. And it gets cold. I mean, we're talking about in the winter, we can get minus 20, minus 30 out there. Find it. I can bundle up. I don't really like it cold to the sense that I want to run around and, you know, naked in the cold and stuff like that. Like, I see people in the Polar Bear Club going out there to in the middle of the winter and swimming in the ocean. I think that's just nuts, to be perfectly honest. They can have it. But, as long as I can cover up, I'm okay. And that's how I see it. I like it. And again, I love Chicago. I can't say enough about this wonderful, wonderful city. Such history and character behind it all. Let me get back to talk a little bit about the news item that I just saw Atrios mentioned. Tom Noe of Ohio. He was the guy who was, one of the big Diebold guys, at least as far as getting the machines in there. He was Ohio's Secretary of State, I believe. And he was finally convicted today. He was convicted and sentenced to more than 18 years in prison, according to CNN, for embezzling from a state investment in rare coins. And, you know, they kind of buried that in the, you know, oh, here it is. Nancy Pelosi's trying to do this and that and this and that. Oh, meanwhile, another Republican got arrested for embezzling. In the meantime, there's a Nancy Pelosi going around and said, oh, scandal and corruption, Democratic Party. Oh, God almighty. You know, like I said, I stopped listening. I stopped listening years ago. I'm going to learn that Russian phrase specifically because I want to say it the way it says sounds in the original Russian because it sounds better. No pravda in izvestia. No izvestia in pravda. The so-called professional media is rudderless, is self-serving, is damaging to the country. They are as damaging to the country as Republican Party politics. Because I'll say this, you know, for the Republicans and for the hardcore right-wingers, they're only doing what they're expected to be doing. In other words, they're a bunch of vicious, rotten bastards, but we knew they were a bunch of vicious, rotten bastards. And this is the way vicious, rotten bastards act. The press is supposed to be the great equalizer. But the press is not. Because the business of America is business, more than it is freedom, more than it is liberty, and because corporations have far much more power, I can't say that phrase right, but you know what I'm talking about, have a lot more power than they really deserve or need, we can't get an honest assessment of the news. It's not that we want the news to have a liberal slant, although it is funny how reality so often takes a liberal stance. It's not that we want the news to have a liberal slant. It's that we want the news to start telling the truth. Republicans are still pissed off about Nixon. Well, you know what? Nixon broke the damn law. And he not only broke it, but he broke it in a way that affected his ability to run the government. The president should be president first and a member of whatever political party second, because the president represents all of the people. Bill Clinton represented Republicans as well as Democrats. George Bush represents Democrats as well as Republicans as the office of president in that sense. I remember when Bush was running for office in 2000 and he was on Oprah's show. And he said something to the effect of that he was going to be loyal to the 51% of the people who voted for him. No, George! No, Mr. Bush. You are the president. You represent everybody. From the 30% who support you to the 70% who think you ought to be out on your ass. As long as you are in the office of president, you represent everybody. And you have to take everybody's opinions and needs and even, yes, even feelings into account when you make decisions. And sometimes you have to say, well, I think this is the right decision because these are the decisions that the American public voted me for. But for people like Mr. Bush, for people like Mr. Cheney, for people like the Republican leadership and their financial backers, all they see is their own ambitions. And they believe that the government exists to benefit only those who they see fit. And only those who already have. Whereas liberals like myself believe that the government exists to make a better life for everybody. Or as many people as is feasibly possible. We do not think we're perfect. And certainly not every liberal policy has worked. And we're not saying it has, and we're not saying it's not, there are things that we tried aren't going to fail in the future. Because there is reality. And when you try to impose an ideology on reality, reality tends to bite back in a big way. But the difference is that we understand to ask the questions. And we understand to try something. Franklin Roosevelt called it bold, persistent experimentation. And we failed miserably with our policy in Iraq because it was ideologically run. There's a bunch of people who say, we're going to go in there and kick their ass. We're going to go in there and we're going to win. Yeehaw! It's Texas democracy, boys. We're going in there and we're going to kick some Iraqi butt. Hey, boy, you got a bandage for that arm there. Have you seen the arm? Lost my arm out in Iraq. We're getting our asses kicked, people. We're the greatest military power, not just today, but of all time. And we're getting our asses kicked. Why? Because we failed to heed the lessons of history. Because we have people who are so obsessed with getting power and the money that comes from power and the power that comes with money, it's all part of the same scheme, that they're willing to overlook reality and say that because we have the biggest military and because the military is the one thing that makes America great, which is also wrong, that we can do whatever we want. And everybody else can just sit back and watch. We will create our own reality. And everyone else can just report on it. That's how they believe. It is truly a CEO presidency. Because that's how CEOs think. If you work in any big corporation, the CEO simply gives an order and expects it to be carried out. He or she doesn't want to hear any excuses. And I say she now because unfortunately, and this is a line that George Carlin had years ago, a lot of times, what feminists wanted was not so much to change the system, but to rather put themselves into the system. And the system is wrong and the system is corrupt. And one of my favorite little bits from history, the Melian dialogues, 2,500 years ago in Athens, the Athenians told the Melians, said, you know, the strong do whatever they can, and the rest do what they must. And that's been the operating policy of governments throughout history, even democratic societies like America. Although there have been times when we understood that use of force was not the best way of doing things. We used force to defeat the Japanese and the Germans, yes, but it was our compassion, it was our liberalism, and it was our understanding that the German people weren't necessarily our enemies, and the Japanese people weren't necessarily our enemies. Who are our enemies were their governments and how they forced them. And because we were compassionate to the Germans and the Japanese after World War II, guess what? They're now two of our biggest allies and friends. And we're risking losing even that friendship by our actions. The people of Iraq are not our enemies. In fact, for the people, until recently, the people of the Middle East, for the most part, were not our enemies. They love Americans. They may not like what our government does, but they love Americans. And I better hold off before I go too far. We have Mark Levine coming up next on the Inside Scoop here on the Head On Network. And we have such a wonderful array of shows for you today and wonderful programming for as many hours as we can put on the air. And I want to thank Agnes Kincaid, our lovely Agnes Kincaid, for being the producer today. Even though she's feeling a little under the weather, and I'm sorry. I was under the weather on Monday, and the only reason I didn't go on was because the part of me that was under the weather was my voice. I can be a little weak or a little ill and still do the show, but if I can't talk, I can't do the show. It kind of takes away from radio. You know, I'll sit here and be a mute on the show.
Anyway, that's what I would sound like. You don't want to hear this. I sound like Selma. Hey, Marge, Homer sucks.
That is the worst imitation. Anyway, we got the news coming up. We got Mark Inside Scoop with Mark Levine coming up next. He's got some things going on. Mark, if you can hear me, what have you got coming up? If you can toss it out on chat there, if you have time for it. He's got some stuff going on. And he's got a good show. Stay tuned. As for me, I have to grab a shower, and I have to get out because I got to get back to work, and so should you. Get back to work. Goodbye, everybody.
Joe, I crave a plate of Dave, open a jar of Joe, don't put anything on, I'll chug a jug of George, I'll sip a mug of Doug, with the creamer of steam, how many more does that leave, give me a pot of Scotch, heat up a pan of Stan, throw in a handful of Dick, that'll do, every trick, serve a carafe of mash upon a tray of Ray, I'll lick a spoon of Sean, do I need to go on, I want a cat. Joe, yeah, da 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 da.
For Quality News Network at the.
This is the Quality News Network. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad is inviting the presidents of both Iraq and Syria to join him this weekend in Tehran to discuss ways to end the escalating violence in Iraq. The Iranian invitation comes on the heels of today's visit to Baghdad by Syria's foreign minister, where he announced that Damascus is prepared to help stabilize Iraq. More civilians have been killed in that country in the first 20 days of November than died during the entire month of October. The deaths including another university professor, as well as a popular TV comedian who was gunned down today on his way to work in Baghdad. President Bush in Indonesia on the last leg of his Asian trip said he's made no decision regarding the strength of U.S. forces in Iraq and won't until he gets recommendations from the military. But the Washington Post reports that a key panel at the Pentagon is now reviewing three options for Iraq: pulling out, sending in more troops, or reducing the American force there but committing them to stay longer. Former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger says he does not believe a military victory is possible in Iraq and says he supports an international conference involving the UN Security Council, Iraq's neighbors, and regional powers like India and Pakistan to try and work out a solution to the conflict. British Prime Minister Tony Blair made a surprise visit to Afghanistan today, where he is pledging Britain's continuing commitment to fighting the insurgency there. In Ramallah, talks about a possible Palestinian unity government have again broken down over disagreements about which party will control certain government ministries. In Mexico, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, who narrowly lost the presidential election in July, plans to be sworn in today as president of what he calls a parallel government. A former Russian spy who's been critical of Moscow remains hospitalized in London under heavy guard and in serious condition after being intentionally poisoned during a meal at a sushi restaurant. The Russian government denies any involvement. In India, authorities are investigating a train explosion which killed four passengers and injured dozens. The Coast Guard has seized a makeshift submarine off the coast of Costa Rica, which was en route to the U.S. carrying 3.5 tons of cocaine. The four-man crew has been arrested. arrested. And the Carnival cruise ship Liberty is back in Florida following a cruise from Rome during which more than 700 passengers and crew became ill from a highly contagious norovirus. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control are now overseeing the cleaning and disinfecting of that ship, which is due to depart on another cruise tomorrow. The incoming chair of the House Ways and Means Committee repeating his call for a military draft. Michigan Democrat Charles Rangel says he'll